welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
So we're over in 2 Thessalonians, say 2 Thessalonians. And we're talking about, in these scripture verses in the second chapter, about what will precede the coming of Jesus Christ. And two things that have stood out, and we've been talking about them. Number one is there'll be a great falling away of the believer. Say a falling away. And the word apostate literally means a falling away or a defection or a deception away from the truth. Now we know Satan is called in John 8:44, what? The father of all lies. And what he uses is the tool of deception, something that looks good, it looks like it's real, but it really isn't. It's deception to get you and I to believe something. But if we establish the truth, say, if I establish the truth in my life, I'm not going to be deceived. So the Lord has got me, if you don't mind, the game plan is simply this: to tell you truths that are in the Word of God so we will not be deceived. I know if we hear the truth and then we know the truth we know, it will set us free. It's because we don't know the truth that when deception comes, we can say, well, you know, you never know, maybe, could be. No, there's no maybes, no could be's. When the world says there are no more absolutes, that's deception right there. Because this is the greatest, say this, this is the greatest absolute on the planet. Hallelujah. I'm seeing things and hearing things in my eye gate and ear gate that in my entire life I never thought I would see or hear. But it's happening right before us. It's happening right before us. I picked up the other day again the book Vision by David Wilkerson, now who's passed on and going into meet with the Lord. And when I read that and looked through it again, the places I had underlined, I realized that all those things to me were like, are you kidding me? I looked at it and said, that's impossible. Everything that he wrote in the book, The Vision, has happened, and even other things already. Listen, we are living in the last days. Turn to your neighbor and said, we're almost there. And one of the things we will see, listen, it's already breaking out. We will not hear about great revivals overseas. We will have great revivals here in the United States of America. And listen, revival doesn't care about the name on your church. Hallelujah. Say a great falling away of the believer. Listen, let's go over, if you don't mind, real quick to 2 Timothy. And let's look, if you don't mind, at the third chapter. And let's look at some more scripture about the last days and what we shall see. The third chapter starts out this way. I'm in the Amplified. But understand this, that in the last days will come and set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Are we there? These are key elements of it. And tell me if you and I don't see this in our culture today. For people will be lovers of self, utterly self-centered, lovers of money, aroused by inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud, arrogant, contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. We got kids suing their parents today. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. That sounds like the headlines, doesn't it? And inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements, rather than lovers of God. Although they hold a form of piety, true religion, there we go, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Listen now, their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people, turn away from them. Listen, you got to make sure who you're hanging with are people that are born again people. They're in the light, not in darkness. Well, I don't want to let my friend down. I'm his only contact. Pray for them. Because if you get too close sometimes to darkness, you'll be swallowed up by darkness. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Amen. You can pray for somebody and see the power of God come on them, because the Holy Spirit can be here and there where you and I can't be. But make sure the company that you're lining yourself up with, this goes for me, is born again, God-fearing in nature.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I just lost half the crowd, because that means some of our friends got to go. They don't have to go, but if they hang around you, there's so much light, their darkness should turn into light. But what's happening in this last day is our light's going out because we're hanging too close to darkness. Let me leave that one there before I get going. Look at the fourth chapter. Can we do this? I charge you in the presence of God and Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by the light of his coming and his kingdom, herald and preach the word. That's what I'm doing. I'm preaching the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand, and be ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as a preacher of the word, point your finger at me. That's you, Pastor. Now go like this. It's me too, because I'm a minister.
Me too.
You're a minister. Are you ready now? Say, I'm a minister of the gospel. Are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. That doesn't mean you go there and say, oh, you're doing this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. Paul said this, you are living epistles that people read. How you live your life and how I live my life is going to say to somebody, hey, I'm doing this and this isn't right. I'm looking at them. Boy, there's something about them. When you and I walk into a room, it's like you should be wearing a perfume or a cologne that somebody says, what are they wearing? You ever had that happen to you? What are they wearing? Something should change because you've walked in and I've walked in, because the Bible says we are the light of the world.
Amen.
Light shines the best where?
In
darkness. Say, in darkness. There's plenty of darkness out there. Say, there's plenty of darkness. Can I go a little bit further? And then we'll move on. Welcome you as a preacher of the word to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting and warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Listen to me. You have to have patience when you're dealing with people that don't know Christ. I have to have patience dealing with people who do know Christ. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying. I could get up right now and tell you, listen, there is no hell. You can go out and live like hell because there is no hell. I could make everybody feel good. But then I wouldn't want to disappoint you if you were, God forbid, to live like that and find out you never asked Christ into your life and you haven't been living a godly life. I'm here to tell you there's a heaven and there's a hell, and the word of God will tell you both of those things. Those are truths in God's word.
Amen.
Remember the man that died, the rich man, went into hell. And when he found out it was real, what was his words? Can I at least go back? Tell my family. Why? So that they don't make the mistakes I made and get to hell. Can I just have a drop of water on my lip because it's, are you kidding me? Come here, my brother. Come here, Red. Just stand over here so people can see a side view. There you go, side view. I'm in jail. Turn sideways. There you go. He's come to visit me. There's a glass between us. I can talk to him. I can see him. But I can never make what? Contact with him as a human being the rest of my life. Because I'm a lifer. That in itself, separation from God Almighty. Think about that. I choose not to live like hell. I'm not going to hell. I choose to live after the example of my Lord Jesus Christ that touches each other, that has a relationship like this with one another, even though Red doesn't want to hug me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hell is a permanent separation from God Almighty. Hallelujah. Can I go a little bit further? They will gather to themselves one teacher after another to considerable number. That's why we've got so many church hoppers. They'll gather to themselves, listen, one teacher after another to considerable number, chosen to satisfy, listen, their own liking and foster the errors they hold. Not foster the truth they know, but the errors that they know. I hear this so often. I go like, say this with me. I know what the Bible says. But here's what I believe. They don't believe the Bible. but they think they do. That's the religious crowd. If the Bible says this, then I believe it. Not but. How many of you know what butts? You find cigarette butts and other kinds of butts, and they belong somewhere. Hallelujah, glory to God. I have a faith in the Word of God that has never let me down. There are many places where I don't understand and haven't understood, but yet I hold on to the Word of God by faith, knowing that if the Word says it, then I can have what the Word says. Hallelujah, glory to God. And you can call me anything you want, but I'm going to be a person. Let's take stewardship. When it comes to stewardship, I preached it to you before, my time, my talent, and my treasures. When I get some money, the first thing I do is give off the top of that money. That's simple. Well, Pastor, I believe in giving it from the net, or I believe in only giving this much. You can do whatever you want to do. But don't forget that there was two people in the Word of God, Adam's sons, Cain and Abel. Abel gave what? Say first fruits. What does first fruits mean? The first. If somebody gives me a check for, somebody, matter of fact, did a couple of months ago, gave me a check for $1,000. First thing you do, write a check for $100 to the church, sometimes more. Why? Because that's first fruits into my life. But then there's the religious crowd. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to give off my net. Wonderful. Cain gave in the process of time, which means he didn't give first fruits. He went ahead and paid the cable bill, the utility bill, and the, oh yeah, God, here's some loose change. Don't tip God some loose change. How many hours in a week? 168. Are we being good stewards of our time? Think about at the end of a 24-hour day, if we were to sit down and get a rough idea of everything we did every hour of that day, we'd be surprised how much is wasted. We'd also probably be surprised, this is across the board, how much time we actually gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing in the morning, honor him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him without him, you wouldn't have life. Take account of every second of every day and realize, listen, realize how much time we don't spend with God in the Word that we need to be. If we're spending more time, listen, in first fruits of our time, we won't see the troubles that we run into later on in that day. Amen. Give him, say, first fruits. Say first fruits. Turn to your neighbor and say first means first. Thank you for joining us today. And I want you to know that a man named Jesus Christ loves you with an everlasting love. Jesus Christ gave everything for you. He gave his life for you. He shed his blood for you. You can have this freedom in the spirit realm. You can have freedom from sin. You can know your place is going to be heaven and not hell. Just say this prayer, folks. Jesus, thank you for loving me unconditionally. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your blood in my place for forgiveness of my sins. Today I accept what you've done for me, Jesus, on Calvary. I'm free from this point on, and I will serve you with every ounce of my being in Jesus' name. Now, if you've said that prayer, here's what I'd like you to do. Go tell somebody, ask Christ into your life. Find a good Bible-believing church. Get a hold of the pastor's vision. Help him fulfill that vision. Would you do that? We love you and appreciate you.
I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. Harvest Church invites you to join us for special evening services with evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth. Ted Shuttlesworth has been ministering throughout the United States for over 40 years, winning countless souls for Christ and moving in God's miracle-working power. Don't miss your chance to be a part of these anointed services, Sunday, October 8th through Wednesday, October 11th at 7 p.m. For more information on this event or to download today's message, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. That's soldoutforjesus.com. Jesus,